Good morning, church. How many of you received a timeout when you were a kid? Come on, be honest. How many of you kids are receiving timeouts now? Anyone? Okay, maybe you don't want to admit that in church. That's okay. Now, if you behaved badly during your timeout, what happened? What's that? You got longer. Or maybe you got grounded. Anybody get grounded? Yeah? Okay. But if you did not behave during your time out, it demonstrated you hadn't really learned your lesson. So my parents might say, well, you got to spend 5 more minutes, 10 more minutes, whatever it was. I mean, that's the goal of healthy discipline, right? That it's meant to train us, to teach us how to behave, right from wrong, how to discern it, how to act. And we show that we've learned the lesson of discipline by our desire to receive grace, get a second chance, and try again. Have you ever felt like you've just really blown it? Oh, Lord, give me a second chance. Give me another chance, Lord. Daniel was doing his devotions, and he was reading from the prophet Jeremiah, and he learns that the Babylonian exile would last 70 years. And so he knew the time out, so to speak, of God's people is about to end. He knew his people needed the amazing grace of God to forgive their sin that led to the exile in the first place. And he needed the Lord to give them a second chance. Have you ever wanted a second chance with God? Good news. God is amazingly gracious. If you run to him for grace, he runs to you with arms open wide, ready to receive, ready to forgive, ready to embrace you. And so today we're going to look at God's grace as we see in Daniel chapter 9. We've been going through the prophet Daniel during our sermon series. And we're going to do this a little bit different this morning because this is an amazing prayer. It's an example of how we are to seek God when we need his grace. And so we're going to intersperse this sermon with some times of worship and times of prayer as well. So we're not just going to read about seeking God's grace. We're actually going to do it. You know, this is one of those texts where it's like, it doesn't really make that much sense just to talk about it. It makes more sense to actually practice it, even as we're meeting together. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. So the first aspect of God's grace we're going to look at is this. Number one, God's grace to be found. So Daniel learns that this exile is going to last 70 years. Now remember, by this time, Daniel's an old man. It's been over 60 years since Daniel chapter 1 when he was deported to Babylon. And so Daniel is an old man, and he is desperately seeking God. Verse 3, it says, I turned to the Lord God, or I sought the Lord God, and I pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting in sackcloth and ashes. I mean, Daniel learns the exile is about to be over. Time out's almost done. Why not just wait? I mean, until God fulfills his promise. Why this seeking of God? Well, first of all, as I mentioned, that we need to show that we've learned our lesson by repentance and desire to receive grace and begin again. And Daniel is standing in the gap for the entire people of God and telling the Lord, we're really sorry for our sins. And we want another chance. But another reason why Daniel is doing this is because of the nature of God's prophecy and promise as found in Jeremiah. Let's look at this on the screen together. This is Jeremiah 29, 10 through 14. Perhaps this is what Daniel was reading. For thus says the Lord, only when Babylon's 70 years are completed will I visit you, and I will fulfill to you my promise and bring you back to this place. For surely, this is one of the most famous verses in the Bible. Surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future and with hope. But then we don't really read the next part. Let's read this aloud together with me. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. Then it says, I will let you find me, says the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, says the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. So God has this amazing promise. I have a future for you. There's a hope for you. But then this promise is conditional on what? Yeah. When you call upon me, when you pray to me, if you seek me with all your heart, then I will let you find me, says the Lord. I will let you find me. You know, it's not as if God is taunting them, like he's making this really difficult and all these hoops they have to jump through. He just wants their heart to be seeking him. I will let you find me. God is gracious to let us find him. When I play hide and seek with my kids, I could make it really difficult on them. But it's a lot more fun when I'm gracious and I let them find me. The Lord wants us to find him. He doesn't want us to make it like this journey that we can't find him. No, he wants us to seek him and he wants to be found. And so we're going to sing a song that practices this seeking God, asking for his grace, asking God to hear us, to forgive us, to open our eyes. I invite you to stand for this song. It may be new to some of you, but as you learn the melody, to sing this out. It's called Hear Us From Heaven, and it reminds me of exactly the type of prayer Daniel was praying in Daniel 9. God is gracious to be found when we seek him with all our heart. The second aspect of God's grace we'll look at is God's grace to forgive. God's grace to forgive. You see, when we approach God, when we draw near to God, we often become aware of our sin. our shortcomings. Like Isaiah, when he sees the Lord, he, woe is me, I'm a sinful man. Or Peter, when Jesus comes close to him and calls him to himself, woe is me, Lord, I'm a sinful man. When we draw near to God, we become aware of that which separates us from him or brings us shame. And the only way to truly receive this grace that we need is to name honestly and fully before God what we need his grace for. Daniel prays for forgiveness for the whole people of God. He includes himself in the prayer, which is amazing because if you remember the sermon on Daniel and his integrity and his character, he still knows he's a sinful man. He still includes himself in the seeking of forgiveness. And as God's people, we are responsible to obey the Lord and represent him to the world around us. And so as the church, when we fail to meet our call, our mission, those standards, we do have a responsibility to confess together as the people of God. It's also interesting that, you know, there's another prophecy in Jeremiah that talks about how really this end of 70 years, it's now Babylon's time for judgment. Last week you heard about the monsters that the kingdoms of this world become and how they are they become oppressive and powerful. And now God's going to judge them. And so you might think this is Daniel's time to say, well, Babylon, you have it coming to you. But actually, he turns and confesses the sins of God's people. Lord, we have fallen short. The finger is not pointing out, even though it may be justified, but he's looking inward at the people of God. And so we too are invited to look inward and confess to our gracious God. So I have some questions for you based upon this text of Daniel 9. And then we're going to spend some time in confession together. Let's put these up on the screen. How have we sinned and done wrong? How have we been wicked and rebelled? How have we disregarded the prophets? How have we disregarded the word of God and what we've been taught? Where have we not obeyed the Lord or kept his laws and commands? Have we not sought the Lord? Have we been slack in seeking him? Have we paid attention to God's truth, or has our attention been elsewhere? I invite you to take a moment of silent confession before the Lord. Let us invite you to tell the Lord that you want to seek him with all your heart. As we're aware of our shortcomings, would you please join me in this responsive prayer based on Daniel 9. Lord, we have sinned and done wrong. Okay. Sorry, can we go back one? Oh, maybe we're missing this one. Okay, go to the next one. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name. We are covered with shame because of our unfaithfulness to you. We are covered with shame because we have sinned against you. The Lord our God is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws he gave us through his servants, the prophets. All of us have transgressed your law and turned away, refusing to obey you. We have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our sins and giving attention to your truth. The Lord our God is righteous in everything he does, yet we have not obeyed him. We have sinned, we have done wrong. O Lord, in keeping with all your righteous acts, turn away your anger and your wrath. We do not make requests because of you, because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. For your sake, our God, do not delay. Because of your people, bear your name. Amen. The point of confession before the Lord is not shame, but true reconciliation, true forgiveness and healing in our relationship with God. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is Psalm 130. Says, if you, Lord, kept a record of sins, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. Another one of my favorites, Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Someone say hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when we come to God in the full acknowledgement of our sin, we receive full grace, full reconciliation, full healing, full freedom. All because Jesus took it away. He nailed it to the cross. Because of the blood of Christ. So I invite you to stand. Let's praise Jesus for making this offering and sacrifice for sins for us.
I was a wretch. I remember who I was. I was lost. I was blind. I was running out. Time, sin separated, the breach was far too wide, but from the far side of the chasm, you held me in your sight, so you made a way across the great divide, left behind heaven's throne to build.
is stronger than the wonder-working power of the blood. Oh, oh. Called sons and daughters, we are ransomed by a Father through the blood. Oh, oh. Jesus, the blood.
Seen God's grace to be found, God's grace to forgive. And finally, let's look at God's grace to fulfill. So after asking for full forgiveness of their sins, which leads to this restored relationship with God, Daniel is praying for God to bring about the end of the exile as he's promised. Verse 19, which you heard, Lord, listen, Lord, forgive, Lord, hear and act. For your sake, my God, do not delay. Because your city and your people who bear your name. Now you might remember that we saw in Daniel chapter 6 that Daniel had a habit of praying three times a day towards Jerusalem. He had been likely praying for decades for God to fulfill this promise, for God to restore his people, for God to restore his city. And here he is again praying the same thing. Lord, hear. Don't delay anymore. Let's see the fulfillment of your promise. Fulfill this promise that we've been waiting for 70 years. Lord, you said, if we'd seek you with all your heart, then we would find you. And Daniel's saying, Lord, here I am. I'm seeking you with all my heart. Here I am seeking you. And then if you jump down to verse 20, it says, while I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, he came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. He instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Now, Daniel seems to have favor with God, but remember, he's also just prayed. Lord, we're not asking this because of our righteousness, because of our goodness. We don't ask God to fulfill his promises because we deserve it, or we've been good, or we've been righteous. No, we ask God to fulfill his promises because he is merciful, and he is gracious, and he longs to show mercy and have compassion on us. And so we can ask the Lord to do this because of his great mercy. And then God gives Daniel even more than he could ask or imagine. Says in verse 24, 70 sevens, or this is, that really means 70 periods of 7 years. 77-year periods. Do you got that? That's 490 years or so. They are decreed for your people and your holy city to finish transgression, to put an end to sin, to atone for wickedness, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place, or it could be translated, holy person. N.T. Wright, he writes about this verse, that Daniel had prayed that God would deal with Israel's sin, and Gabriel answers that in verse 24, he will, but not merely in the coming return from exile, Beyond that, in about 500 years' time, God will act so decisively that he will bring about not just a temporary restoration of a still sinful people to their land, but a complete solution to the whole problem of sin in itself. It is difficult, in my view, to read verse 24 as a fitting description of any events that took place in the centuries after the fall of Babylon, other than the events of the life, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we know what happens in about 500 years' time. About 500 years after these events, God does finish all transgressions. He ends sin. He atones for all wickedness of the whole world. He does bring in an everlasting righteousness. He does fulfill all biblical prophecy. He does anoint his person, his Messiah, his Christ. So God heard Daniel's prayer. And in his divine sovereignty and plan, he does bring an end to the Babylonian exile. He brings the people back, but then he does even more. He sends his son, his one and only son, to fulfill all the messianic prophecies, all the things the prophets have been proclaiming, and he gives grace upon grace. He gives us his grace through Jesus to be found by him, to be forgiven by him, and to see us fulfill all his promises, that we would see the Lord do that. So I invite us to close our time reflecting on these truths by continuing in worship. Worshiping our God who hears our prayers, who forgives our sins, who fulfills all his promises to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. During these last two songs, if you need prayer for anything, we will have our prayer partners up in front and in the back. If you need prayer for your relationship with God, maybe you're dealing with some type of sin or brokenness in your life, or maybe you need physical healing, or you just want prayer for anything, our prayer ministers will be in the front and the back during these last two songs. We would love to pray for you.